After 18 months of blacking, of a blackout, of not letting me on Fox, they finally let me on Fox today, 4 hours into the election. Hey, their slop is selling, so they'll keep selling it. But listen, I got to watch Fox also for the first time in 18 months.
По итогам переговоров президента Владимира Владимировича Путина и председателя Си Цзиньпина была также принята совместная декларация Российской Федерации и Китайской Народной Республики о становлении многополярного мира и международных отношений нового типа.
双方还签署了创新、能源、新闻、教育等领域共20项合作文件。
А также подписано 20 документов о сотрудничестве в сферах торговли, энергетики, науки, образования, спорта и средств массовой информации.
签字仪式到此结束。
Церемония подписания документов завершена.
This is my video update on this Wednesday morning, May the 20th, coming to you from Belgrade, Serbia. Let's talk about some news. And before we get started with today's news stories, I want to say a quick thank you to everyone that likes this video. Thank you so much for hitting that like. For everyone that is subscribed to this channel, thank you for subscribing to this channel. And for all of those who hype this video, thank you so much for smashing that hype button. I like the hype button. Not sure what it does, but I like it. So thank you so much for liking, subscribing, and hyping. Let's talk about some news. And the big story, of course, is the Kentucky election. And Thomas Massie losing in the Kentucky election, the primary. In Kentucky, and Massie lost to a guy who was pretty much hiding in his basement, very much like Joe Biden. So interesting, huh? Trump complains about, continues to this very day to complain about the 2020 election and how he lost to Biden, who never campaigned and pretty much ran his election from his basement in Delaware. Isn't that Trump's big complaint? One of his big complaints about 2020. And here we have Trump giving full support, unbelievable support to Ed, whatever his name is, Ed Gallstone, or whatever the guy's, I don't even know what the guy's name is, Gal Ryan. And Trump gave this guy who was hiding out in his basement, refused to debate Massie, and he ends up winning. So elections can absolutely be bought. Absolutely, elections can be bought. Doesn't even matter who the candidate is. If you throw enough money behind that person, they can win. That is what this primary in Kentucky has shown us. And the Epstein class, they have the money and the power. And Trump, in his second term as president, I believe he made the decision to align himself with the money and the power, which is why you have all of the trading, the trades that take place in the markets, on the betting markets. All the money made on Trump posts and news 5 or 10 minutes before it goes up. And that is why you have Trump putting all his support behind a no-name candidate, and that no-name candidate defeating the man who was pushing for the release of the Epstein files, a man who was against arms to foreign countries, including Israel, but he was against sending weapons and money to any foreign interests, including Israel, and he was also against the wars, the foreign wars. And that is the guy that lost. Thomas Massey. So is Massey going to run in 2028, you know, when he was giving his speech, when he conceded his defeat, speaking to his supporters, they were chanting 2028 and President Massey, 2028, President Massey, that's what they were chanting. And Massey, you could say he hinted, perhaps, maybe he was hinting at some sort of a presidential run.
What happens in 2028? You want me to run for Congress again? I don't know what you're talking about. All right, well, you made a compelling argument. You spoke your piece, but I need a medical margarita right now. And we'll talk about it later. Thank you and God bless.
It's still early, so we'll see what the future holds for Thomas Massey. But for the time being, we have Ed Gallrine, who is going to run against the Democrat in Kentucky. The breakdown was in the voting was pretty much 55 and under. Full support for Massey, 55 and older. Full support for Ed, Mr. Ed. So that is the big news for today. The Thomas Massey primary, not even an election for the House that's coming in November. This was the Republican primary. But a massive, huge election result. So let's shift gears and let's move on to Putin in China. Is there anything to say about Putin in China? He's meeting with Xi Jinping in Beijing. And they're going to sign 40 bilateral agreements, economic, military, security, cultural agreements, all kinds of things are going to be signed. They're going to have a press conference, I believe, today. They're both going to make statements, and I imagine they're going to take questions from the media. I hope that we get questions from the media. And Putin was greeted at the airport by Wang Yi. Let's talk about the airport greeting. Wang Yi greeted Putin, and the greeting at the airport was big. It was a big greeting, big turnout to greet the Russian president, very similar to Trump's reception at the airport. The one difference between the airport greeting, and I will reference a post on X from Brian McDonald, is the fact that Wang Yi greeted Putin. He was not there for Trump. So what does this mean? Putin was personally greeted by Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi, a serving Politburo member, whereas Trump was met by Vice President Han Zheng, who no longer sits on either the Politburo or the Communist Party's Central Committee. Some Chinese protocol analysts explain that sending a Politburo member to the airport signals that Beijing considers the visitor an especially important guest. So the one difference is that you had a member of the Politburo greeting Putin, and you had someone who was previously on the Politburo, no longer sitting on the Politburo, greeting Trump. That's the one difference. Maybe it's a big difference. Maybe it's a meaningful difference. Maybe it's not. But anyway, that was the airport greeting of Russian President Vladimir Putin. By the way, the Financial Times article that I talked about yesterday, which said that Xi Jinping had told Putin had told Trump that Putin regrets the invasion of Ukraine. China has denied that any such statement was made. And even Trump said that no such statement was made. Even Trump said that Xi Jinping never said that. That's a direct quote. He never said that Putin might regret invading Ukraine. So the Financial Times was trying to sabotage the meeting, the trip of Putin to China. Way to go, Financial Times. Good job trying to sabotage Putin and Xi Jinping's upcoming meeting in Beijing. That is pathetic and sad on behalf of the Financial Times. Very pathetic from the Financial Times. So the ruble is doing really well against the USD. According to Bloomberg, Russia's ruble has muscled its way to become the world's best performer against the dollar so far this quarter. People need to buy oil, right? And the oil is very expensive. And it's going to get more expensive over the next few months. Got to buy that energy. So the ruble is doing well this quarter. Tatters, tatters, tatters. Sorry, Ursula. No tatters for you. But a strong ruble is not necessarily good for Russia. They don't want the ruble to get too strong. I believe it's at about 72 to the dollar, or maybe even 70. That's too strong. You want that ruble at around, I would say, 85? 80, 85? What do you guys think? What do you guys in Russia think? 80, 85, I think, is a better place for the ruble than 70. So anyway, that is Bloomberg. We'll stick with Bloomberg because they also ran an article saying that the UK will allow imports of diesel and jet fuel refined from, drumroll please, refined from Russian oil. Oh no, not jet fuel, refined from Russian oil. How dare the UK allow that Russian oil to enter into their jets? How dare they do such a thing? Yeah, sanctions, blowback, sanctions backfiring. So the UK will effectively loosen some Russian sanctions by allowing imports of diesel and jet fuel refined from Moscow's crude in countries like India and Turkey. Scott Bessent also extended the oil waiver, the Russian waiver, another 30 days. So any tankers with Russian oil that are currently at sea can deliver their oil. They have the permission of the United States, and countries can purchase that oil. Of course, all of this is connected to Iran and the war with Iran and the blockade against Iran, which is really a blockade against China. Bessent posted on X, the last sentence that he posted on X, where he announces the extension of the Russian oil waiver. He says it will also help reroute existing supply to countries most in need by reducing China's ability to stockpile discounted oil. As he is talking about issuing a temporary 30-day general license to provide the most vulnerable nations with the ability to temporarily access Russian oil currently stranded at sea. The Russian oil stranded at sea. Bessent doesn't hide the fact that this is all about China. He despises China, Bessent. He's a China hawk. China super hawk, I would say. So let's get to the other big story for the day, which is the drones. More drones. This time we had a drone over Estonia. The drones over the Baltic countries. What is going on here? Another drone. One drone over Estonia and NATO is activated. That's right. NATO sprung into action, including a Romanian jet. I believe the Romanian jet actually shot down that Estonian drone. that was flying over Estonia. Where was this drone coming from? It was a Ukraine drone, of course. And they're blaming Russia. They're saying that Russia's at fault for all of this, right? Because Russia is jamming the drone, and the drone is supposed to be heading into Russia so it can hit targets in Russia. And the theory is that Russia is sending these drones back over the border, back into Estonia. What a successful mission from NATO. And that's how they're positioning it. Estonia is saying this was a successful mission from NATO. The foreign minister, who's a very bright guy, Mr. Margus Tsahkna, said the downing of a drone that entered Estonian airspace proves one thing clearly: NATO works. Really? I don't know about that. It was a Romanian F-16 that responded to the drone, and I believe that's the fighter jet that knocked it down. I guess the other two fighter jets were providing cover or something. Anyway, the foreign minister of Estonia is blaming all of this on Russia. He says these incidents are the direct result of Russia's war and provocations. Estonia is strengthening cooperation with Ukraine to enhance our air defense and counter drone capabilities. Russia's fault that we allow our airspace to be used by Ukraine in order to hit targets in Russia, but it's Russia's fault because they're not allowing the drones to cross over into Russia. It's their fault. You should allow those drones to cross over into Russia. Don't jam those drones and send them back into our territory. How dare you send those drones back into our territory? Anyway, the spokesman for the Ukraine foreign ministry, he posted on X that it is Russian propaganda that claims that Ukraine is using the airspace of the Baltic countries to launch drones into Russia. He says that is all propaganda. In a post on X, he said, we reiterate that contrary to Russian propaganda claims, neither Estonia nor Latvia, Lithuania, or Finland have ever allowed to use their airspace for strikes against Russia. Furthermore, Ukraine has never requested such a use. Yeah, he's very clever with his words, huh? This is lawyer speak, very clever with his words. He is saying it's Russian propaganda because Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, and Finland have never allowed to use their airspace for strikes against Russia, and Ukraine never requested it. Well, okay, maybe Ukraine never requested it, and maybe the Baltics and Finland never explicitly said, you can use our airspace, but everyone is looking the other way, right? So what are you trying to tell us? That these drones are traveling from Ukraine and they're crossing all the way through Russian territory, all the way through Russian territory to hit St. Petersburg? St. Petersburg is like up there. And Russia's just allowing all of these drones to travel all the way through Russian airspace and hit St. Petersburg, and they're not downing them. Is that what you're trying to tell us? Actually, he's trying to tell us that the drones are traveling all through Russian airspace, all the way up to the Leningrad region, St. Petersburg. And then Russia is jamming these drones. They're not knocking them down. They're jamming them, pushing them to the Baltics, where they then cause all kinds of trouble for the Baltics or Finland. That's what he's telling us. Russia's not even downing these drones as they're traveling all the way up to St. Petersburg. They're actually pushing these drones into NATO EU territory. Give me a break. Nonsense. But he's very, very clever with his words. We never asked for permission. And Latvia, Estonia, Finland, Lithuania never gave us permission. Okay. I'm positive that's correct. I'm sure you're not lying there. You probably never did ask for permission, and I'm sure they never gave you permission. But everyone's just kind of like, what drones? I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. Drones using our airspace to rush? I don't know. No such a thing is happening. At least I don't think anything like that is happening until the drones started to get jammed and started crashing in Baltic and Finnish territory. That's when they started to freak out, right? Once Russia started to jam those drones. Before that, the drones were hitting St. Petersburg, right? They were hitting the facilities and the ports in the Leningrad region. And then the Russian military, they figured out what to do. Anyway, Alensky put out a TikTok message, and he said that Ukraine is winning the war. He said this month has seen changes in the dynamics in favor of Ukraine. We are holding more positions and inflicting more damage. Our long-range strikes against Russia have a particularly significant impact. And then Alensky said, today I approved the plans for our long-range operations for June. Yeah, there are reports which claim that Alensky has met with his military team, and they're going to launch big operations, big strikes, drones and long-range missile strikes into Russia in June. We're talking very big, massive strikes. That's what the reports are coming out of Kiev. And we can now go to Germany. From Kiev, we go to Germany, where we can talk about Alice Weidel, who has laid out the AfD's foreign policy position should they become the ruling party. They are at 29%. They're inching ever so closely to 30%. They will get to 30% and beyond, no doubt about it. But Alice Weidel, she was speaking at an event, and she said that peace with Russia, balanced ties with the U.S., deep trade with China. That is what she is putting out there as the AfD's foreign policy position. Sounds good. Peace with Russia, balanced ties with the U.S., trade with China. Pragmatic, rational, simple, good for Germany, good for the world. Merz don't like it. Merz don't like it at all. The EU cool kids are going to freak out over this statement, but it's a good foreign policy position from Weidel. She said that the loss of Nord Stream, the loss of cheap Russian gas, has really damaged the German economy. Yeah, it did. Damn it, Gilligan and the skipper for blowing up Nord Stream. Damn it, Gilligan. And the, and who else? It was Gilligan and the prawn actress, right? The adult film star who was also the master diver. Remember that story? The master diver, adult film star. That was also part of the Nord Stream crew. So the bond markets are flashing red. And this is worrying the Trump administration. This is going to really complicate Trump's plans for trying to outweigh Iran when it comes to the blockade and the closing of Hormuz. We have the waiting game going on, and the Trump White House believes that they can wait out Iran, and then Iran's economy will crumble. Iran believes that they can survive and outlast the United States, and the global economy will cause the catastrophe, and the global economy will cause all kinds of trouble for the United States. And it looks like Iran may be correct, according to the Kobasi letter. Bond markets flashing red. Today, the U.S. 30-year note yield officially hit the highest level since July 2007 at 5.19%. This will soon become America's biggest problem, yet the vast majority do not even know it's happening. I believe Trump make a statement yesterday where he said that he expects an answer from Iran to the U.S.'s terms in at least a week, or at most a week, by a week, he wants Iran's answer to the U.S.'s terms. I don't know what I'm trying to say. It's early morning. I need to get a cup of coffee. But yeah, Trump is now once again talking about demanding that Iran accept the U.S. terms, which are no different than all the terms that the U.S. has put out there over the past 60 days. I'm not going to go over those terms because we already know all those terms. A capitulation, an Iranian capitulation, is what Trump is demanding, pretty much. And the uranium dust. But I think he did say that he wants an answer from Iran within a week, or else we would get strikes. Time is running out for the Trump administration. He's going to get freaked out over these numbers. He's going to get very freaked out. If there's one thing that Trump looks at very carefully, the White House looks at very, very carefully, it is the bond markets. So NATO is now discussing opening up the Hormuz Strait, something that the United States cannot do, but NATO is going to open up Hormuz, just like they dealt with the one drone. What an expensive operation. Anyway, now NATO is going to work its magic and open up the Strait of Hormuz by July. Or if it's not opened up by July, then NATO is going to spring into action. Operation Open Up Hormuz. I'll leave it to NATO. NATO will get the job done. So let's do a clown world. We can wrap up this early morning video here in Belgrade at the world famous Hotel Moskva in central Belgrade. Everyone is going to work. Coffee in hand, ready to start the day. So the first clown world is a weird post from Al-Jilani Al-Shara. He posted the perfumes that Trump gave him when he visited the White House. Trump Victory and Victory 45 and 47, I believe, is the name of Trump's perfumes, his colognes. Not to be confused with Alensky number 5, no comparison to Alensky number 5. It's intoxicating, that Alensky perfume. Makes you want to hug the little green guy. But Trump gave Al-Shara, Al-Jilani, Al-Qaeda leader, former Al-Qaeda leader, who once upon a time had a $10 million bounty on his head from the FBI, he gave him perfume, cologne. Trump Victory. And for some weird reason, this was like 2 months ago or 3 months ago, maybe even longer than that, Al-Jilani decided to post what Trump gave him on X. Some meetings leave an impression. Ours apparently left a fragrance. Thank you, Mr. President Trump, for your generosity and for topping up this precious gift. May the spirit of that meeting continue to shape a stronger relationship between Syria and the United States. Did Trump provide money or something to Syria? And that's why he's posting this? Is this a recent post? I have to double check this post from Al-Shara. Strange thing for him to put out on X. It's strange that you have an Al-Qaeda, a former Al-Qaeda guy on X. I think that's pretty weird. Anyway, we will end today's video, the Hotel Balkan. So you have the Hotel Balkan, and then you have the Hotel Moskva. And then you have the center of Belgrade. This is pretty much central Belgrade right here. This is where all the action is. So we'll end today's video with a video, and it is former CEO of Google, Eric Schmidt, who is speaking to graduates at the University of Arizona, and he is talking up AI. And as I play this video, notice all of the boos from the university students as Eric Schmidt tries to con them on how great their life will be with AI. And they're not buying any of it. So there is hope. Absolutely, there is hope. Keep in mind, it was the under 55 that voted big time for Massey, and now you have the university students booing former CEO of Google, Eric Schmidt, because they understand that he is trying to deceive them. He's trying to push something onto them, the data centers and all the AI stuff, push something onto them that they don't want, and that they know is going to make their life much worse, not better. Anyway, that is the video, everybody. The Duran www.locals.com. We are on X. We are on Rumble and Telegram. Go to the Durant Shop, pick up some merch. We have a sale on t-shirts, 30% off all t-shirts. And I will see everybody tomorrow. Take care.
Time magazine selected its person of the year for 2025. And this time it was the architects of artificial intelligence. Interesting. It will touch every profession, every classroom, every hospital, every laboratory, every person, and every relationship you have. I know what many of you are feeling about that. I can hear you. There is a fear. We do not know the precise contours of what this transformation will look like. Choose a diversity of perspectives, including, let me add, and if you'd let me make this point, please,